What a beautiful time recognizing the church's role in helping families disciple and care for their little ones. Caitlin and I are just honored to have y'all as a church family, encouraging us to raise our kids. And I know every family up here, it just feels honored to have you guys as a church family, pointing us to Christ, coming alongside of us to point our kids to Christ, encouraging us in the day-to-day battle of parenting. Because reality is, without brothers and sisters in Christ, without this church family, without the truths of God's word, without the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's easy for us as parents to feel alone in the midst of parenting, in the troubles and the chaos of parenting. When the troubles of parenting overcome us, or when worldly voices start to influence us, or when sin creeps in to our families and Satan attacks us, it's easy then for our family to be shaken. Right? But we can say that same thing about all areas of our lives. So even if you're not in parenting, but all areas of lives, when things that are in opposition to God start to influence us, start to affect us, start to attack us, then it's easy for us to feel shaken, to be shaken. All of us in some areas of our lives are already overcome. Maybe at any moment ready to just break down and cry. How many times have you had a conversation with a friend and tears start flowing because of the stress and the anxiety and the pressure that is going on in the world? Because of the brokenness and the suffering that you might be walking through, that you might be enduring, because of the temptations that continue to come before us. And we can't see our way through the pain. We can't see our way through sin. We can't see our way through the evil. And some of you here this morning have walked into church today, have walked into this building because you are overcome with the things in your life. And you need the church, and you need the encouragement of God's word. And this morning we come to Psalm 93 and we find it. Psalm 93, I believe it's an anchor for our souls in the midst of the floods, but Psalm 93, it provides us with hope. It provides us with security. And it does so by pointing us to the reality of the truth of what you just sang, that the Lord God reigns. The Lord reigns. And so if you take anything from my sermon today, if you take anything from Psalm 93, I pray that that is the truth that you hold on to walking out of here. The Lord reigns. And so we're gonna look at Psalm 93 and we're gonna see the reality that the Lord reigns. And then we're gonna see how we are called to respond to his reign. And so I want to, this morning, in respect to God and respect to God's word, let's stand and let's read these five verses together. So please read them aloud alongside with me. Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, pleading with you to show us a glimpse of your glory. Pleading with you to help us understand and believe the truth we have before us in your word, that you, Lord, Yahweh, you reign. Help us to apply this truth to our lives and give us hope in the midst of all that is before us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You guys can be seated. All right, first, let's look at the reality. The Lord reigns. Verse 1, or part of verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. So this psalm, it opens with a declaration. It opens with a praise. I got to stand up here and hear you guys sing that very truth. And that's how this psalm opens with. This declaration and praise, a celebration of the truth that the Lord reigns. This is the Lord that we've been talking about all through the Psalms, right? This is the Lord this is the Lord Yahweh, right? The same Lord from the beginning of time, the Lord who approaches Moses and he says, this is who I am. I am. But the Lord does not just exist. He's not just there. The Lord who is, the I am, he also reigns. He is sovereign and he rules. And he rules over all things. This phrase is only found here in the fourth book of Psalms. It's found in one other place. But it's found here in Psalm 93, Psalm 96, Psalm 97, and Psalm 99. And then the only other place that the Lord reigns, this phrase is in 1 Chronicles 16. And if we look at 1 Chronicles 16, we get to see this song from David. He turns and he worships the Lord because the Lord had been faithful to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the Israelite people. Right? And so David, he bursts out into this beautiful song of thanks and he's praising the Lord because the Lord is good, the Lord is sovereign, the Lord reigns. But you see, prior to 1 Chronicles 16, prior to David breaking out in this song, the Ark of the Covenant, which is an item that represents God's presence, God's provision, and God's rule, was captured by the enemy, was captured by the Philistines. If you were here with us in 1 Samuel, when we walked through that, then you'll find this very story in 1 Samuel 5. The Philistines, they capture the ark, and they put the Ark of the Covenant where? Do you remember where they put the ark and they take it? Temple. They put it in their temple. Well, this temple was a temple that was worshiping their idol god, Dagon, okay? And so they bring the Ark of the Covenant into this temple. They place the Ark of the Covenant right next to this idol that they worship. And they walk out of the temple. And the next morning they walk back into the temple. And what happened in that room? Their idol, Dagon, is prostrate down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. So they lift back this idol. They walk out of the temple. They come back the next morning. And what do they see? Dagon's head is cut off, his hands are cut off, and they are shattered at the feet of the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord reigns. The covenant was brought, at the feet of the covenant was this idol that was shattered, that could do nothing. And the Philistines then say, we don't want anything to do with this powerful God. He is reigning, he is ruling, he is active. We have to give it back to his people. And so they take it back to the Israelites, and David receives the ark, and he goes into this song, and he rejoices, and he says, all gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord, this Yahweh who made the heavens, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice and let the nations say, the Lord reigns. See, it is the Lord who reigns, who acts, who rules. And all other idols, they don't have hands, they don't have feet, they cannot act, they cannot rule, they cannot reign. But the Lord, he reigns, he moves, he acts, he rules. But the Lord does not only reign. We see here, he reigns with majesty and strength. The psalmist helps us understand that this is who the Lord is. The Lord is robed with majesty and strength. He is majestic and sovereign and all powerful. showing he reigns with divine glory and excellency. He reigns with strength. One commentator says that God is adorned with garments fitting his sovereignty. This is who he is. When we wake up every day, we put on clothes, and these clothes even speak to the type of person we are. God is robed with majesty and strength. That is who he is. He puts on strength as his belt, that no matter who or what opposes him or his people, there is no strength that compares to the Lord's. This word strength is first found in the Song of Moses in Exodus 15. Do you guys know the story of Exodus, where the Israelites, at the beginning of Exodus, what are they? They're enslaved to the Egyptians, right? And here in Exodus 15, Moses, also singing a song, brings up the Lord's strength, remembers the Lord's strength, that the Lord saved his people from the Egyptians. Bonded, enslaved for 400 years, the Lord, he heard their cries. And he reached down and he rescued them by showing his strength and his power. And he did so by the plagues, by saying, hey, I created the gnats. Hey, I created the frogs. Hey, I can give boils. And he shows his rule and his reign over the Egyptians by saying, this is my strength. I can control my own creation because I am creator of it. And ultimately, he sends death of the firstborn, that even this Lord rules over death. The Lord, he rescued his people and defeated Pharaoh and the Egyptians. The reality is that the Lord, he is reigning, and he is reigning by majesty and strength. Attributes of God that are inseparable from him. And the Lord who reigns with majesty and strength can be seen also in his creation. We've talked a lot about this as we've walked through the Psalms. Here, the psalmist says, yes, the world is established. This world that's established, it shall never be moved. And we see this truth over and over in the Psalms, that the Lord is the creator of all things, that the Lord has established the world, right? Remember Psalm 8 as we walk through it. I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. It takes us back to the beginning of time, the world being established, to the beginning of Scripture, where God spoke and the world was created. The world was established. He created all of it in its beauty. From the depths of the sea that are unknown to the tops of the highest mountain, to the middle of the most beautiful valley you've ever come across, to the light years of galaxies and stars that are above our heads. This Lord who reigns, he's the one who created it. He's the one who holds it together. And they all reflect his majesty. They all reflect how powerful he is, his strength. He holds it in motion. And guess what? No matter how unstable we think this world is, the world does not move unless God tells it to move. Amen. The Lord reigns, but his reign is not just displayed in his creation. We see here in verse 2 that the Lord reign, his reign is displayed on his throne. Look at verse 2. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. The Lord's throne has been established from and for all of eternity. That is a beautiful truth. That the Lord's throne is the one and only throne, that he has reigned without any challenge for all eternity, since forever. No beginning, no end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord has reigned on his throne from everlasting to everlasting. You know, we just walked through a presidential election. Here's that can I just opened. Don't go down that rabbit trail. Stay with me here. But we just walked through a presidential election. Our president is only going to serve for 4 years. Presidents in the past serve for 4 years. Unless reelected, serve for eight. I think there were 21 presidents that served for 8 years. But that time has a beginning. That rule, that throne has a beginning, and that rule and that throne has an end. And then you think of all the rulers all over the world, even the dictators who have been on a throne for years, centuries, their time is still going to end. It is the Lord who reigns on his throne for everlasting. The Lord's throne, it's not like any earthly throne. The Lord's throne is not some new startup or something that is short-standing and unstable. So no matter who is in control of our country or the countries across the world, pause. Sure, we can grieve, right, at who's ruling. We can also thank God for who's ruling because maybe that ruler is kind to God and his church. And sure, we should be active in voting for a ruler who supports God's church and biblical standards. But we do not look to this ruler as a savior because he is not a savior. They are not saviors. But we also don't look to those rulers and be afraid of them because their throne is going to end. Their throne is going to perish. They have a beginning and an end to their rule. But the throne of the Lord has been established from old. It is an eternal government, and it is ruled by the Lord, Yahweh, who's creator of all. And he rules with majesty and strength from everlasting to everlasting. But Kevin, what about the chaos in the world? What about the brokenness? What about the suffering? What about the sin that I'm enduring right now that goes on in this world? Sure, as a believer, I know this truth that God reigns. I pray daily because I believe he reigns. I worship because I believe he reigns. But I'm drowning in this world because of the brokenness and pain that it brings. Well, let's go where God's word leads us next. Look at verse 3. The floods have lifted up. Look at this repetition. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. The psalmist here, he does not deny the floods of this world. There is no denying the destruction that come from those who oppose God and his people. Ephesians 2, it defines these as the world, the flesh, the devil. We've talked about it before from stage. And they come like floods. They come like flood waters, unstoppable and unsparing, right? They lift up daily against us. They lift up their voice, meaning they lift up their voice against you in anger. They lift up roaring. That word roaring is they lift up to crush you. There are floods in this world. The flesh, the sin, the devil, they are looking to crush you. And I know that some of you are sitting here in this room and you are crushed. This is the threat against God and his church. The sin has lifted up, and we get to see that as we look out in the world and we see racism, we see poverty, we see violence, we see immorality, we see corruption. We see it in suffering. We see it in disease. We see it in loneliness. We see it in depression. We see it when we experience death, the death of a loved one. And this is the threat against you and I. And I know some of you, you feel like you're at the deepest depths of the ocean right now. Or maybe you're laying on the shore and the waves just continue to just crash over you and crash over you and crash over you. our lives, they seem shaken. And some of us, we've reached a point where we're without hope. We're overwhelmed by the forces against us. We're in the midst of the flood. And in the midst of the flood, you're here today, or maybe you've done it from the quiet of your home, but you cry out and you say, Lord, where are you? Lord, why don't you move and why don't you act? I'm drowning. Well, let me tell you, right here in verse 4, the Lord does respond. Let's look at that, verse 4, and see the repetition again. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. The floods have lifted up against us, but the Lord, the one who reigns with majesty and strength, he is mightier than the floods. I pray that comforts you. That as a Christian, we can take heart. Because where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the one who is above the waters, the one who has all power and authority over the waters, the one who is reigning. It comes from the one who is before all things and in all things. It comes from the one whose throne is from everlasting to everlasting. And so we may feel in danger. We may feel pain. We may be overwhelmed. We may be stressed and overcome. But hear me and hear this truth today. That as a follower of Jesus Christ, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, then the reality is you have a reigning Lord who is overseeing you, and you're in a place of everlasting security. You are in a place of everlasting security, and I think we find that in verse 5. Let's look at verse 5. Your decrees are not just trustworthy. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. See, the psalmist, in knowing that the floods come upon us and knowing that the Lord reigns, that he is mightier over the floods, he then turns and he goes, I trust in God's word. His word is not just trustworthy, but it's very trustworthy. The Lord who reigns, he is faithful and he has spoken. We see his testimonies. Many of you have them in your hand. You have them on your phone. From Genesis to Revelation, you have the very word of God before you. And we can take comfort that what he has said in his word, that it is true, that it is sure. Or as Pastor Jared likes to say, we can take it to the bank. We can deposit that check. And from the beginning of his word, when sin entered the world, when brokenness entered into humanity and creation, God, he spoke. He spoke and he gave us a promise. He spoke and he gave us his word. And he said, just like with the Israelites in Egypt, he said, I see the floods crashing over you. I hear your cries. I see how you continue to walk in disobedience to me. I see how you continue to reject me. I see these kingdoms raging against one another. But he said, I promise that I'm going to reach down and I'm going to rescue you. I promise I'm going to send someone, an everlasting savior for you. One who is going to sit on this eternal throne, who will usher in not a kingdom of chaos, not a kingdom of war, but a kingdom of peace. And we get to the New Testament and we see that promised Messiah show up, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, the Son of David, he is here. And God says, on him I place my glory, on him I place all authority over my people and over creation. That Jesus is the one who can calm the storms. And you actually get to see Jesus in his life calm a raging storm. He silenced it. How? By his words. And Jesus, he walked in holiness, in complete obedience to God the Father. Something that we can't do. Plagued with sin ourselves. Jesus lived in perfect obedience and he went to the cross and he died in our place. We deserve that death. But Jesus died in that place and then he rised again. And in that resurrection, he showed that he conquered the floods, that he conquered sin, that he conquered death, that he conquered Satan. And so now we still have God's word promising that one day he's going to return and he's going to restore and redeem all of creation and all of his people back to himself. Amen. And we know that God's word says that everyone who seeks Jesus as their refuge will receive salvation. And you know what that salvation is? Eternal security. In Revelation 4, we get this beautiful picture of Jesus sitting on the throne. And it's not just this beautiful picture. It's quite, if you read it, scary, actually. But in Revelation 4, I think it's verses 5 and 6, Jesus, he's sitting on his throne. And he's ruling. He's reigning. But guess what's at his feet? A sea of glass. That when Christ returns, all that chaos and all those floods, they're gonna be stilled. And those who believe in Jesus are going to receive eternal life and walk into paradise, walk into that kingdom with him. And there will be no more sin. There will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. The floods will be gone. Why? Because the Lord is mightier. Jesus Christ is our everlasting Savior. And so, church, we can take comfort in that truth, that the Lord reigns, that God's word, it is very trustworthy, that God is faithful. But here's the challenge that I want to give you. Here's the challenge I want for all who trust in Jesus. And it's that next phrase in Psalm 5. Holiness befits your house. You see, God is a holy God. Our sovereign Lord is a holy Lord. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to live holy lives, to be holy as God is holy, to conform to the image of Christ. And we can't do that on our own. In faith in Jesus, God gives us a helper, right? He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us do that as we trust in Jesus. But what I want to challenge you with is, do you truly believe that the Lord is reigning? Because if you believe that the Lord is reigning, then your life needs to show who is reigning over your life. Is God ruling your actions? Is God reigning over your motives? Is the Lord truly ruling and reigning in your life? Do you truly trust him? Or are you just saying you do when truly you're sitting on that throne? The challenge as we walk out of here is to believe that truth that the Lord reigns and then strive to live by it. The Lord's table we're about to come to, it's a holy place. God is a holy God. He asks us to come to the table repenting of sin before we come. And so maybe you're sitting in here today and you never repented of your sin. And the Spirit is calling you to trust in this reigning Lord, to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, to ask him to forgive you of your sins and to make Jesus Christ Lord over your life. Well, as we prepare the table, as music is playing, I just want you to spend some time with Jesus, and I want you to take that moment and repent of your sin. Because he is faithful and just, and he forgives you of that sin. That is granted to you. And then join us as we participate in the Lord's Supper. Or maybe you're here in this room today and you're overcome by the floods this morning. Well, then in the time as we're preparing the table, I just want you to cry out to Jesus. To trust in his promise that through his body broken, that through his blood shed, that one day he will once and for all calm the storms in your life. He will calm the roaring waters. Or maybe those floods have been caused because of your own sin. Remember God's house, his table, it is holy. Let's repent of our sin before taking the Lord's Supper. If you've sinned against someone else, then let me ask you, if they're in this room today, to approach them, to ask for forgiveness, and then take the Lord's Supper together. But now I'm going to ask the guys to come forward and we're going to prepare the table. And in those moments, I want you to think about those things and think about the truth and the comfort that the Lord reigns, and ask yourself, are you allowing the Lord to reign in your life?